It's time for High Plains Public Radio's weekly program, Growing on the High Plains. Here's Skip.
Since we're heading into a month marked by gift giving, I thought it might be the perfect time to tell you about a great garden book that was recently given to me by some old friends who share my love of growing things. It's called The Earth Knows My Name, and it recounts various stories dealing with food, culture, and sustainability in the gardens of ethnic Americans. It was published about a dozen years ago and was written by Patricia Klindienst, who traveled the U.S. gathering stories from Native Americans, immigrants from across Asia and Europe, and ethnic peoples whose ancestors were here long before our national boundaries were drawn. These stories, divided into 9 sections, reflect the making of a garden as a way of keeping memory alive and protecting cultural heritage. Their settings vary from pueblos in New Mexico to islands off the coasts of South Carolina and the state of Washington, in gardens from Massachusetts to California, and from the last working farm in Stonington, Connecticut. Some descendants have brought their traditions and gardening histories from the East Coast Iroquois Confederacy to join with the conquistadors who tried to create a new Spain on the plains and prairies of the New World. Some survived the Civil War to teach their descendants how to create gullah gardens of fruits, vegetables, indigo, and rice. Some immigrated from Poland and now grow grapes for Washington wine, or from Japan to grow strawberries and raspberries, except for the time when they resided at Asian internment camps during the Second World War. In 1982, rice farmers from Cambodia relocated to Massachusetts and have created a community garden on public land located 5 minutes from Emily Dickinson's homestead. Filled with trees, flowers, and a variety of vegetables, herbs, and spices, the 4 acres are shaded at various points by ropes, tarps, and trappings that keep the noonday heat at bay in Massachusetts, but also helped keep elephants out of the gardens in their Cambodian homeland. 2 Italian gardeners tell of their family histories in the time of Mussolini, one leaving Italy as the dictator was consolidating his power, the other coming through Ellis Island in the wake of Mussolini's bloody defeat, and as World War II ground to an agonizing finale. Southern California houses a Punjabi garden that has amazing versatility on its 1/4 acre. Over 50 varieties of fruits, vegetables, and herbs, including a sacred neem tree that is rarely grown outside of India, are discussed with a former New Delhi resident. And a visit to a series of urban gardens created and tended by Puerto Rican immigrants was especially interesting to me, given the current news centering on the hurricane aftermath of their homeland. A final chapter in this amazing book about gardens and their backgrounds recounts the efforts of a Connecticut farmer to maintain a supply of sacred Indian corn, or maize, to make it available to the historic tribes of New England and the Eastern Seaboard. The traditional intercroppings of the Three Sisters, complete with a careful accounting of the method of planting corn, beans, and squash, is a treasure in itself. But the whole book is a prize for anyone who loves gardens and gardening. If you'd like publication information, you can visit hppr.org for details.
Growing on the High Plains is a production of High Plains Public Radio. It's written and narrated by Skip Mancini, and it's produced by Brian Biorel. To hear more Growing on the High Plains, visit hppr.org.